morning. That's a little bit better. It's good to see you this morning. We are continuing this series in Galatians this morning. Before we get into that, I want to do something, and then I want us to pray because we've got a couple things that we just need to be praying for. Number one, we need to pray for a family that is loosely affiliated with 24, and we're going to have an opportunity to minister to them. This is kind of off the cuff, and our home team leaders, and I haven't even got to talk to staff about this yet, so they're clueless too on this, but here's kind of the deal. We've got a family with a single mom. We've got a 7-year-old boy, and they were renting a place and did not have renter's insurance, and there was a fire, and they lost everything but a bike and the clothes on their back that night. And so this happened some weeks ago, and just kind of in talking with one of the guys in our church, many of you know Kevin McCoy, or Kung Fu Kevin, as I like to call him. Kung Fu is kind of helping us head up something here to help this family out. And here's what we're going to do. Just kind of off the top of our head, we just decided, you know what, let's get them things that they need, number one. And how do we know what they need? Well, we don't. So we've got to get that information from them. So to make everything just as simple as could be in a way that maybe you, your home team, may want to go together and do something like this, minister to this family this week by going to Walmart and looking up the name Nellie Hammers in the registry, which I understand is you go to the jewelry department to do that. And so go to the registry, check out Nellie Hammers, and they will have stuff on there that, I mean, they've lost everything. They got nothing. And so we're going to minister to this family, and I'm excited about doing that. And make sure when you do get something that you have it, you know, marked off the deal so that we're purposely trying to just get them as much of what they need and not get duplicates of stuff. And so just kind of know that. Home team leaders, we're going to be sending you info. This has all just been kind of going down this weekend, and I just wanted to go ahead and get the word out publicly. And we're going to pray for that family here in just a minute. Another thing we want to pray for here in just a second is Jason Turner. Many of you know Jason Turner. Has moved up here about a year ago from West Tennessee, serves like a dog around here. He is here every Saturday night, every Sunday morning, stuff during the week. He helps me do stuff during the week. Anytime I'm getting some kind of crazy video, he is always in on that usually. Jason was in a car accident Friday night, flipped the car or rolled it or something. A guardrail was somehow involved. He doesn't really know what happened, but he is okay. And he's in the hospital right now. He's down at Vanderbilt. He was in the trauma unit yesterday, but he is okay. They're just kind of watching him closely, but we just want to be praying for him and thanking God that God spared Jason's life. Jason ministers like crazy to people, and he just loves people. And so I know that you're going to be wanting to pray for him. And in the next week, you know, you may give him a phone call if he ever finds it because it was in his car and he didn't know where it was at. So anyway, let's pray. Let's pray for this family. Let's pray for Jason right now. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for giving us a church to love on us, for allowing us to be a part of a body of believers that are there for us in times of need. God, I just pray, Lord, that that's what we would be. God, I know that you want us to serve you, and the biggest part of that, God, we know that you want us to love others. And God, I just pray, Lord, that we would do that. Some people are hard to love. Some people are easy to love. But God, across the board, you've just called us to that. God, we just lift up the Hammers family to you right now. God, just ask that you would just move in their lives. God, that you could use us, that you could maybe use our home teams to just kind of step out and run to Walmart and buy some things. God, we have so much stuff that we just take for granted, and the thought of just losing it all and waking up tomorrow without a toothbrush or whatever it is. God, I just pray, God, that we can minister to this family. Use us in that and that they may see Christ in us. Thank you, God, for sparing Jason Turner's life this weekend. God, he has such a ministry for you. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just use this time in his life to even propel his ministry for you. God, that you would just use him in mighty ways as you have done in the days past, that you would do even more so in the days in the future. God, we love you and we thank you for friends and people that care for us like these. God, just guide us in your word today. In your name I pray. Amen. So, I brought some goodies with me today. I'm going to start over here. Anybody like candy? Yes. We have any We have any candy likers? Some candy? You like chocolate-covered raisins? Anybody? All the kids are like, now, here we go. Courtney, just for you, the real cook in the house today. I'm going to try to mimic you today. Who else? What about, now this is what we're talking about. This is colored gumballs. You can't go wrong with that. Tell you what, I'm going to throw this in between you guys, and y'all just split it up, okay? What else? Who else? We got Hershey's Bar. Chris Clark, are you in here? Is Chris in here? Man, that stinks. I got something just special for him. I can give it to somebody else. It's okay. We got Hubba Bubba. It's watermelon. Watermelon Hubba Bubba. Come on. Up in the bleachers right there. This is, just by the way, this was my pack, so there's a few missing because I'm down with the watermelon Hubba Bubba. I'm not going to lie. Let me go over here. I don't want to leave all these people out on the bleachers back here. By the way, there's some seats up here if y'all ever want to use them. We got a Hershey's bar. Anybody down with the Hershey's bar? You first one to raise your hand. You're going to get it. We got some Snickers. This is like the little Snickers. So you can't raise your hand. Well, I can't imagine why. It's a little Snickers. It's not a big Snickers. Congratulations to Josh and Dusty on the birth of Pearson this week, by the way. Isn't that great? Stinking. Everybody in our church keeps having kids, and we don't have places to put them. It's a good thing. Watermelon candy sticks. Once again, the watermelon flavor. Oh, you were making that face at her. I'm sorry. there you go. You want one? You want one too? Good for you. And then we've got the grape now and laters. Grape now and laters. But once again, these were mine. Got only a couple left, I think, in that. Let's see. Who else we got in here? This is something special. I had this for Chris Clark, but he's not here. Who would really enjoy this? It's not candy, so I'm going to go with Ben on this just to be safe. It's a cigar, so. I got to keep one of my grape now and later, so that's pretty cool. The cigar thing, the reason for Chris and I, he's in our alternate home team, because Aaron and I teach a home team, and then we're in a home team, and in our alternate home team, the one that we're not teaching, which is so cool just to get to go and hang out and do something. And, you know, and he's a big cigar head, and I've recently kind of getting to liking that a little bit, and so we've been talking that mess. But anyway, I got a grape now and later to hold me over. You know, do you ever feel like that you are trying to win friends to you? Win people to like you? I mean, you ever just kind of find yourself doing stuff to win the approval of others? I'd say we all kind of fall in that today. And you know, maybe it's not giving out candy like you're at the parade or something, but we all fall into this thing where we feel like we've got to win other people's friendships. Man, I just want to tell you today that I am so glad that we don't have to do that with God. We don't have to win His friendship. In fact, His grace is given freely to us. And this morning, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the whole struggle that happens that I see everybody go through that's a believer. And so many people that are not believers, so many people that are in the church, and I just want to tell you, if you heard some of the statistics that I have heard about the people in church, the percentage of people in church that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I mean, it is astounding. Now, you know, I don't know how you do research on such things, but, you know, somehow I'm sure they did some kind of questionnaire or whatever. And so many of us have grown up in so many different cultures and in so many different belief systems that along the way we have lost in there what it really means to be a Christian. If I were to go around the room today, and in fact, I've done videos before. When I was in youth ministry, we did videos where we would just go out in restaurants and places and we'd just ask people, can you tell us what it means to be a Christian? And we would have answers just all over the spectrum. Anybody want to guess any of them? Go to church. Very good. Any others? Do good. There you go. Those are like the two big ones. Go to church and do good. Man, if you're going to church and you're doing good, man, you have got to be on the one-way trip to heaven right there. I mean, that's got to do it, doesn't it? I mean, that's got to be it. But it's not. And we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about what it really means as we are studying through this book called Galatians. We've given a lot of history over the past couple of weeks of where this came from and why it was written and all this stuff. And we're kind of picking up where we left off last week in chapter 2 and verse 15, where Paul is talking to Peter. And if you were here last weekend, and you're not going to catch this on the podcast because for some reason it didn't work out to record. And we're sorry about that if you go looking for it. But last weekend we talked about Paul and Peter. And Paul was talking about a confrontation that he had to have with Peter over Peter being a hypocrite. Peter was saying one thing and doing another and all this stuff, you know, and Peter is a smart guy. I mean, we're talking about an apostle of Christ here. We're talking about a guy that really knows the Scripture, and yet at the same time, he was acting out some things that were very not what Scripture would teach. Paul called him out. And after he called him out, we are kind of picking up here in verse 15 of chapter 2 of the book of Galatians, and it says right here, "We who are Jews by birth are not Gentile sinners. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified." We're going to kind of talk through this. I want to just break this down and just kind of help you get a bearing and understanding of what's going on here. And right here, Paul is kind of finishing up this confrontation deal with Peter and kind of transitioning into just kind of speaking to everybody here. And of course, he wrote this for everybody to read and for us to all have a better understanding of Scripture. And as Paul is writing this, and as he is saying this, he is saying to Peter, when he is saying right there in the very beginning, "We who are Jews by birth are not Gentile sinners." You see, one of the things, the major thing that had been happening that was plaguing Paul, that Peter had done, was that back in old Scripture, in the law, you know, there were all these things. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to do all this stuff. Well, Peter had started only hanging out and only eating with the Jews, which were guys that were observing the law. They were all about the law. It's about the law, it's about the law, it's about the law. And the basic deal with that is that basically these guys were believing that that is what it took to have eternal life with our Lord and Savior. Well, that's not true. Paul goes on to talk about that here in just a minute. But when he is saying Gentile sinners, he's being very, very sarcastic. Now, I like a little sarcasm every once in a while. And Paul could dish it out with the best of them. And in this passage of Scripture, he's basically kind of calling Paul out, and he's kind of going, "Paul, we're both Jews, but are we not sinners?" Because, you see, Paul sitting at the table with the Jews and hanging out just with them was basically saying to the rest of this crowd, "Y'all are sinners, and I'm not hanging out with you. Y'all are in the wrong, and I'm not going to chill over there. I'm only going to eat over here." Well, Paul was very clear in making a statement right here and saying, "Peter, that's not the case, and we both know it. We were born Jews, but our birth alone is not enough to save us." And I just want you to get that in here today, because I think there's some people in here today that have sold themselves on the fact that they were born into a Christian family, that was enough. And I'm pretty sure early on in life, being a preacher's kid, I thought that. I remember getting in fights with kids at school going, "My dad's a boss of the church. He can do whatever he wants to. We can change the pews around or whatever." I should have told him to move the thrones off the stage. One of those things that we get so wound up in is who we are as people, the things that we attach to ourselves, the job titles that we have or that we have had, or the talents that we have, or all of these things. And I just want you to just kind of just get this today, is that the most important thing that you can understand today is that that stuff doesn't save us. That stuff does not give us eternal life in Christ. And Paul is being very straightforward here, and as he is reading through this passage of Scripture, he goes on
It says in verse 16, "Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified." Everybody that I gave candy to, or maybe a cigar, why don't you just raise that up for me here today? Everybody just raise that up. You got a little piece of that, or you've probably already stuffed the whole thing in your mouth. All you've got left is a wrapper. You can just wave it if you've got a wrapper. Everybody? Everybody got something? Looking for everybody. Real high. Real high. Okay, now, just hold them up there for just a minute. Now, see, in this world, we think to ourselves that when we do something for somebody, like I have given you some candy today, we think to ourselves, you know, that is deserving of something back. That is a friendship made. I went out and bought friendships all over the room today with that candy. You can put your hands down. I just want to see how long you'd hold them up. And the friendships that I bought today truly are probably not very meaningful friendships, let's just face it. I mean, not with the candy anyway. I'm friends with some of you already, and that's a great thing. But the thing for us to understand is that we can't buy our way into heaven. You can't buy it. And you can't earn it, and it doesn't matter how hard you try, and it doesn't matter what you sacrifice, doesn't matter what you give to somebody else, doesn't matter how good of a person you are, it doesn't matter how great your church attendance is. Paul is very clear in this passage of Scripture. He's saying, "But by faith in Jesus Christ, so we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ Jesus, and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified." What is the law? We talked a little bit about this last week. The law is what we see in the Old Testament. It's what we've got Moses dishing out for us. In fact, we see a passage of Scripture where we have a guy comes up to Jesus, and he says, "Jesus, tell me how I can get into heaven. I want to know what I can do for you." And this is a confusing passage to some people because they don't realize that even Jesus could be a little sarcastic at times. And Jesus himself says to the guy, "I tell you what, only one is good enough to get you there. But there is this: go and keep the law." And what he's saying is, go and keep the Ten Commandments. Anybody make it through this last week keeping all of the Ten Commandments, by the way? I'm really curious. I'd love to meet you, by the way. I'll tell you what, I don't want to embarrass you. You can stay afterwards. I'd love to get to talk with you. You see, it is impossible for us to do that. It's impossible for man to keep the law. I mean, we are sinful by our nature, our human nature. We are flawed. And so what the deal is Jesus is basically saying to this guy, "Look, guy, I'm it, I'm the way. If you think you can keep the law, then you'll be in good shape, but that's an impossible thing." And Jesus, of course, goes on later and says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus wants us to understand, as much as Paul wants us to understand, we cannot earn our salvation. And I don't have any doubt in my mind that there's not a church on the face of this earth, that there probably aren't people sitting in it that have been working off of this good deeds, good church attendance mindset that, man, I'm doing it. I'm doing good. This is it. This is all I need. And it's not. It's not. The book of Galatians goes on, and it says in verse 17, "If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin?" Absolutely not. Now, right here in this passage of Scripture, Paul's bringing up a point that he knows that these guys are going to bring up to him. He knows, and some of you have heard this argument, maybe you've even made this argument before. But he is saying, guys, before you even ask, yes, Jesus is the way, and the law will not get you there. And to follow that up, he is ready for their comeback, which is, well, are you saying that Jesus promotes sin? That we can just come to Jesus and we can just go do whatever we want to? And that's a mentality that we see a lot of Christians have. That's the hypocrite mentality that we talked about a couple weeks ago. And that mentality bleeds through in so many people's lives. I mean, it's very obvious. When we get into this state, and you know, just in our home team a couple weeks ago, we were even talking about how God may give you over to a sin if you just keep saying no, no, no. Check it out in Romans chapter 1. And it's a dangerous place for us to be to continually turn our back on God with something like that. But it's so important for us to understand that Jesus coming to save us, the cross was not meant for us to have a free ticket to just go do whatever we want to do. And we're going to explain just a little bit about this here in just a minute. I want to keep going here. In verse 18, it says, if I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. And what Paul is saying right there is he is saying, you know, if I prove what I destroyed, when he's talking about what he destroyed, he's talking about all the work that he had done to help people to understand that the law is not what saves you. If he were to go back on that and to try to follow every ounce of the law and try to gain his salvation through the law, then that in of itself would be breaking the law. Because the bottom line to our faith is that Jesus Christ is the way. And in verse 19 it says, For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying that I lived in the law, but I have died to that life. I have died to a life that is old. And as he goes on there in chapter 20, he is saying, I have been made a new creation. And that's good stuff. I mean, when you think about that, to think that we could be made completely brand new. And some of you are looking at yourself, and maybe you're looking at your spouse and you go, I wish somebody would make you new. You know, I think for so many of us, we've missed the importance of Christ coming into our life and making us a new creation. We have sacrificed. This is the most important thing that you could ever understand about our faith. That we have sacrificed that for these good deeds and good church attendance. And one day, we will end up seeking God's wrath because of it. We will not be where we think we're going to be because we've never put our faith in Jesus Christ. Paul is pleading. He's begging people to understand here. He's begging us to understand today that the new creation that comes, yes, although you are still going to be in this vessel of a body that you've got right now, and yes, you still have a human nature, that when you become a Christian, everything doesn't become hunky-dory, and you don't have a life that's just, you know, without sin altogether, you are still going to stumble and you're still going to fall because you're still in this old vessel. But your heart will be made new. We've got some big words on the table in this passage of Scripture today. These big words are sanctification and justification. Glorification, we'll get there. And let me just kind of say, I grew up where people, you know, threw around a lot of $10 words, and I just want to just bring this home for us this morning. Because I just have a feeling that there's a lot of believers and there's a lot of folks out there today that just don't have an understanding of what all of these words mean. And they are important to who we are, and they are important to what we believe. And right off the bat, we've seen justification all through this passage of Scripture. And justification, let me just kind of bring this in for us, is just like it sounds, is to justify. It's to make us right. It's the freedom that we find in Christ. You see, when Christ died on the cross, He died in such a way that that would never have to be done again. You see, you don't lose your salvation. You don't like wake up one day and, well, I was bad yesterday, and so I need to come to Christ again. Well, no, you need to repent, but you need to move on with your life. You see, He only died one time for us to come to Him one time. And probably the most, you know, noted illustration of this, and just kind of the easiest thing for, I think, a lot of people to kind of get a grip on, no pun intended for the illustration, is that a couple of climbers who are out climbing on the side of a mountain, and one is way up high and the other is about to fall off, and he throws down a rope to the bottom climber. The top climber throws down a rope to the bottom climber. Who saves the bottom climber? Does he save himself, or is he saved by the other climber? Is it his grip, or is it the fact that that rope has been offered? You see, God offers His grace freely to us. On our part, we have to have faith in Jesus Christ and grab on to that rope. God saves us, without a doubt. In fact, let me just tell you, you may be sitting here this morning, and your heart may just be just kind of like all jumbled up, and you're just kind of like all queasy inside, and you feel like you've got butterflies, and you don't know why, because you've gone to church all your life, and all of a sudden you're starting to think about this, and you're like, oh, I don't know what's going on inside of me. Let me just kind of tell you something. The Holy Spirit is real, and He is at work, and He is throwing ropes to some of you right now. And He wants you to understand that He wants you to come to Him. God speaks to our hearts. He throws the ropes to us. Without that, we could never grab it. That rope may be thrown to you right now, and the justification that happens here is just something that makes us right in God's eyes. But to be justified, and that has to happen first, to be justified, we have to have faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on the cross. We can't earn it. We can't earn our justification. I can't give out enough candy to people all over the world, or food to dying people, or help as many people as I can with house fires and all of this other stuff. I can't do enough to gain God's approval. There is only one thing that I can do, and that is saying to God, God, I want to have faith in what You have done today with Your Son on the cross. I want to have faith in Jesus Christ, and I want You to be the Lord of my life. I want to follow You. And some of you say, Chris, I've heard that 1,000 times. I am not concerned how many times you've heard that today. I am more concerned today with whether you have ever made that commitment in your life. Another big word is sanctification. And I just want you to have an understanding of some of these words, because I think especially for some of us that are just younger and younger generations, we hear these big words and we just want to like shut it down. I don't want to learn about that. Let me just kind of help you here. Justification is what justifies us. It's God giving His grace freely to us through His Son dying on the cross. That's justification. That's being justified. We are being made right in His eyes. It's just like standing before the judge and the judge says, you're off the hook. Your sins are forgiven. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Today your sins are forgiven. By the way, we're supposed to have that kind of forgiveness for everybody that we know. Everybody. Husbands, wives, friends, whatever. That's the kind of forgiveness that we're supposed to show anybody else. Now, sanctification. Sanctification is this. Sanctification is what happens after we've been justified. And what it is that our heart becomes purified. Our soul, our mind is purified. And because we have been justified, because we have been set free,
I mean, you just think about this. If a judge were to set you free and you've done something completely wrong, and we've all done wrong things in here, we've all sinned against God. And so God has just turned to us and said, you're free. You're free. And in that, our heart begins to change and we desire to do the things that God would want us to do. Brought a little something with me this morning. Hope you don't mind. Courtney, please forgive me. We've got the triple chunk brownies here this morning. And I just wanted to have a snack with you guys today. I mean, I gave out some candy earlier, but, you know, I thought, well, that's not really going to go very far. I at least got, you know, the bag of gumballs for the four guys over here. But, you know, I just thought, man, it'd just be great if we just made some brownies here this morning. So, you know me, man, I love to cook. Rachel Ray, walk out, watch out. You know, and I understand, I was reading the backs of the brownie mix earlier, and, you know, you're supposed to have, you know, some of that, just to be on the safe side. And then it says, you know, a couple of eggs. Look at that. I'm a champion. We'll go number two eggs. I think that's right. Yep, two eggs. Let's do three for good measure. Because, you know, we don't want to leave anything out. Because eggs are good, aren't they? Aren't they good for you? Sure they are. And, it also says add some water. Just so happens I have some. So, you know, hopefully that's enough. And, you know, we just go to mixing this up. You know, and I don't have a... I need a whisk, don't I? I like that word. We need a whisk. But, you know, in making brownies, you know, I think, you know, what's the whole purpose of this? I mean, I guess there are people, I know there are people that really enjoy cooking. I know that there are. I know there are people that they probably could just cook this cook. Now, I'll just be honest with you, I'm probably not one of those people. I don't just sit around and, you know, in my spare time and go, man, I got a little time on my hands. I just like to cook something up. You know, not eat it, but just cook it. You know, just cook it up. We'll just set it on the counter. If anybody comes by, they can have some. You know, that's probably not going to happen. Man, that's looking good, isn't it? You see that? That is triple chunk, too. And, you know, for so many of us, when we get into the process of this, because we want to make brownies, the reason we want to make brownies is what? We want to eat them. We want to have brownies to eat. That's the end product here. And so, you know, the process, you know, takes a little time, and you put a little time into it and whatnot. And, you know, we've added all the stuff here, all the right stuff, and I'm sure just the right amounts too. And the thing about these brownies is that I see so many people do this with the brownies in their Christian life. I see them mixing this up. And then what do? Well, that's good. That's good right there. It's sweet. That's good. You know how it is before you cook them up? You got the kind of that little crunchy, gritty. It's good, though. You know, and the thing is that this is so many people that come to church. I mean, this is the epitome of so many people that I see trying to earn their way into heaven. They have mixed up some batter. They have been good all week long. They have put in the right ingredients. They have great church attendance. And then what happens is they just eat out of the bowl. And what doesn't happen is they never come to Christ. Because you see, when we have been justified through Christ, then our hearts are sanctified. And when our hearts are sanctified, it's not an issue of us, you know, just wanting to just go sin all over the place, because if we have truly had a heart change, then I'm just telling you what,
then you are going to, in your life, want to follow Christ. You're automatically going to want to do what God wants you to do. And some of you are sitting here today and you're going, Chris, I've never had a heart change. I've never wanted to do what God wants me to do. Guess what? You may not be saved today. And that's a big deal. I mean, that's the biggest deal there is. I mean, there is no bigger deal than that. And so many of us just continue to go, well, I'm just going to go to church. I'm going to be good. I'm going to keep just trying. Look, at some point along the way, you've just got to have faith. And that faith in Christ, until you do that, you're eating out of the bowl, and here's what happens. You continue to eat from this, and you're eventually going to be sick. The real stuff happens when we allow God to take control, and we have the real thing. And so many of us are so curious and not understanding about our Christian walk and why it's just not working out right. And look, you're going to have trouble in your Christian walk and different things. I'm just going to tell you, it's not a perfect ride, but it is the best one. And I can attest to that. And part of what I can attest to is understanding that the final product of when God has changed your heart, when He has sanctified you, when He has purified you, when He has created something new in this old vessel, you would never go back. And it's the most amazing thing that will ever happen in your life because it's real. It's real. And this is not real. And the reason that I'm so concerned about this today is because if you don't get this, then you are going to hell. And that's not a popular thing to talk about in modern church, but I don't care. That's just the truth of it. And I'm saying that because I love you. You can't earn your way there. You can't do enough good stuff. There is nothing. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, we've got this. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast." You see that? That no one should boast. Because God wants us to be able to say, it's all Him. He doesn't want us to be able to say, I did it. I did it. I made this brownie. No, He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to recognize that it is only Him that can save us. And you may be here today and you may realize that's exactly where you're at. You've been stirring the bowl and you've been adding stuff to it. And man, have you been adding stuff to it? You may have even added, man, I'm serving, I'm part of a home team. Listen, I'm talking to people that have gone to church all their lives right now when I'm talking about this. Some of you that have just come in to the church, you need to understand this just as much as people that have been in church all their life, but I want you to understand something. You probably know people in church that have been in church all their life and they're not saved. And because they're not saved, they don't react the way that God would have them to react in life. And that's been confusing to you. You will know someone that knows the Lord by their fruit. This passage of Scripture just goes on, and the very last verse here that I want to read with us today is verse 21. And it says this, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." God wants us to understand the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross was not done in vain. It was done to save us. And this morning you may be here. Maybe you've been holding the bowl and you're trying to get to justification, but you've never gotten there. In fact, what you're doing is you're trying to be sanctified. You're trying to be pure, but you've never been made pure because you're still here and you're still sick. And what happens when you put your faith in Christ, you get the real thing. And when you have the real thing, then you've been justified. And from being justified, your heart is sanctified. You've been made pure. And because of all of it, you're going to experience God in your life being glorified. And to give Him glory is no more than just to say, God, thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made for my life. I didn't deserve it, but you gave it to me nonetheless. God, I accept it, and I want you to be the Lord of my life. And you may be here this morning, and you may need to make that decision. And we don't do this very often, but we're going to do this right now, and we're going to have an opportunity for you to do that. And so I want to ask you, if you would, just to just bow your heads and just hang in here with me for just a moment. Right now, if you're a Christian and you know that without a shadow of a doubt in your heart, then I want you just to pray for those that are here this morning that maybe are not Christians. And you may be here this morning, and maybe you are not sure if you're a Christian. Maybe you're just kind of realizing that you've been playing a big game, and a lot of people fall into that, and I know that I did at an early point in my life. But maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're going, you know what? I don't know, or I know for a fact I'm not a Christian. But today, I want to follow Christ. I want to give my heart to Him. We've had 3 people in our church come to Christ in the last week and a half. It's so exciting. And this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity. So, just with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, and I don't want to make a huge deal out of this, but if you are interested this morning in becoming a Christian, I'm not going to try to embarrass you, but if you want to follow Christ for the first time in your life today, you want to nail it down today, I'd ask that you just stand where you're at. Is there anybody here this morning that could just say, I've not followed Christ before in my life and I want to do that today? Thank you. Who else? You want to follow Christ? Thank you. Who else? Anybody else? Today is the day of your salvation. You want to make it today. You're tired of messing around. You don't want to mix the stuff up anymore. You don't want to be sick anymore. You want God to come and to cleanse you from the inside out. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? For those of you that have stood, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Still nobody's looking around. Like I said, I'm not trying to make a big deal or embarrass you. Here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you just to slip out just the back doors right behind the sound booth. I'm going to head back that way. David's going to join me back there or Joey or somebody. And we just want to talk to you for just a few minutes and talk to you about this decision and just pray with you. And I just want to just pray with us just right now. And if there's anybody else in here this morning, even if you didn't stand this morning and you want to come to Christ today, you want today to be the day of your salvation, all you've got to do is slide through those back doors this morning. I want to just pray for us right now. Let me pray. God, I just thank you so much for the sacrifice of your Son on the cross. God, for those that want to come to you today, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just make their hearts so heavy that they cannot leave this place until they have done that. Because, God, this is the most important thing we will ever do in our life. And it does not matter what people think about us or have thought of us before now. It does not matter how long we've gone to church, and it does not matter anything. God, the only thing that matters at this moment in time, God, is whether we know you as our personal Savior. And God, I just pray that if there is one person here this morning that is struggling with that, they just want to talk about it. God, that they would just slide through those back doors and just come and let us pray with them this morning. God, we thank you for the 2 that have stood. God, how awesome you are to draw people to you, to throw them that rope. God, will you give them your grace and will they accept it? Lord, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity we have to worship you. In your name I pray. Amen.
God, stand with us.